Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now offering a Bet the Underdog special where bettors will receive a $25 free bet for every $50 winning wager on dogs greater than plus 300. That's a free $25 on top of your winnings. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $25,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And of course, speaking of apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. On there is your chance to win $3,000 in the D-Gen Dance Contest, which you can only find on the SGPN app.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Mighty Mighty Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode number 126, a.k.a. the Coronation of King Gumby. More on that in a bit, but yes, this episode is dedicated to our benevolent leader, our newly elected king. Not elected, I guess. He just grabbed the throne, King Gumby Vreeland. Like I said, more on that in a bit after I introduce myself. I am known as the Pube Assassin. I am Jeff Fox. Thank you for coming to the podcast. More on Pube Assassin later as well. But we got quite a show because we had to give to your ear holes this week or this episode because we had quite a UFC event last night. Things couldn't have gone pretty much better for our picks or actually for the UFC as a whole. Everyone they wanted to win pretty much won. It was a packed, raucous crowd. So yeah, it was a very good, and it was good for everyone to watch the event too. I'm sure everyone enjoyed the fights. And if from all the direct messages I've been getting, a lot of people had a very profitable night, tailing along with their picks or just having the same opinion as we did. So let's dive right into it. Like I said, this I am the MC of this event, the Coronation of Gumby Vreeland. Why is he our king now? Well, let's just say he went 11-1 last night with his picks. He hit two underdogs, three underdogs. He went 4-0 on his recommended plays. He hit a 10-1 parlay. Not much this man didn't get accomplished last night. And the one that he whiffed on, I whiffed on as well. And it was pretty much one of the layups, one of the gimmies of the card. And the fighter in question did not come out to play. So anyhow, let's introduce him. He is the one and only King Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I like the ring that has. The 10-1 parlay, I will say, though, I almost feel – so when we hit it, I was like – that's awesome. It's a 10-1 parlay, right? Like, you don't hit 10-1 parlays every day, or at least I don't hit them every single day. But, like, it felt too easy, did it not? Like,
it was only two fights.
It was Ilia Topuria wins by knockout, which he won by knockout. And it was...
sure did.
And it was Paul Craig doing Paul Craig things, as long as Paul Craig wins by finish. And those two things together somehow 10-1. In retrospect, Paul Craig by submission, it's just like, I can't believe people were getting like plus 300 for that or something, some ridiculous amount like that. Him by finish alone was plus 260. And in retrospect, he was always going to finish somebody.
Yeah, you helped talk me out of the submission prop, but that's okay. I still got him.
It would have got him. What was it? It was like an extra plus, like another 50 on top of the number. It was like plus 260. You could have gotten like 310 or 320.
Yeah, it wasn't huge. All right, before we get into all these things, I just have a couple questions for you. I only want yes or no answers from you. Correct? Okay, I don't want
so
long
dangerous.
Drawn out explanations. Just yes or no answers. First question, did one of our smart fans who likes to send us all the thousands that he wins after every event, did he send you his picks before you recorded your podcast last week? Yes or no answer.
Before I recorded this podcast?
And the Top Turtle podcast.
Not before I recorded the Top Turtle podcast.
Okay. Before this podcast, yes.
Before this podcast, but not before Top Turtle or Prelim Primer.
Okay. Did... were all your picks the exact same as this person's picks who sent you all his picks on Twitter? Yes or no?
They were. He did try to talk me out of Jack Shore, though. He did try to talk me out of Jack Shore, though.
Dan Copy, no. Smart minds think alike and all that stuff. So crowdsourcing. He says he just helped you solidify some of your leans, apparently. But I think he just wants credit for you going 11-1. So
shout out to my guy.
Yes. And he wasn't the only one that was sending me winning.
Somebody sent me a slip. They told me not to out him because they didn't want to share publicly their betting slip. But somebody sent me a betting slip in the Twitter DMs of the Superfan Jong Parlay. They tailed the Superfan Jong Parlay and hit it. So those. It was only, at their book, it was only plus 950, though, so it wasn't a sure Superfan Jong Parlay, but it was pretty damn close.
Yes, yeah, and I had someone tell me they tailed your picks, too. So, yeah, it was, me going 9-3 looks like I won money all around also, but I look like a total chump beside this king, Vreeland.
What was the profit? Did you have another like 67-cent profit day?
No, more than that. We'll get to it, but I made a profit, and hopefully everyone who played a WinBet last night made a profit too, Dan, because we're going to talk about WinBet now. Are you ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and coming soon, Louisiana. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports. Betting and casino play, exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WinBet is now offering a Bet the Underdog special. Bettors will receive a $25 free bet for every $50 winning wager on dogs greater than plus 300. That's a free $25 bet on top of your winnings. Patrons who wager at least $500 in the first and second round of the tournament, that would be the March Madness tournament. So actually, this is over now, so ignore that part, but... Bet the Underdog is still going as far as I know. So ignore the other part I was just about to tell you about. All right, this part, don't ignore this part. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And hopefully you're also in, speaking of March Madness and whatnot, hopefully you're also in the Gen Dance over on our SGPN app. We're giving away $3,000 on that. We're also giving away free hoodies and everything every day. So just make sure you go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/merch, MERCH madness, to enter the various contests and download our app, of course. All right. So yesterday night's evening, depending what part of the world you're in, it was nighttime at the O2 Arena in London is where the festivities went down. UFC fight night, Volkov versus Aspinall, AKA UFC London. It was a packed crowd. You can get the attendance gate over on my site at moneymma.substack.com. Make sure you go and subscribe over there. You can get everyone's payouts from last night. And I will read you the attendance off of there. 70,081 people were in the O2 Arena. Gate 4,500,000. What was, I read something about the gate, Dan. It being, was it a record? Close to a record? Do you remember anything about that?
I saw somebody write record, but I have no idea whether or not that's verified or was from a reliable source. I think I saw it just scrolling through Twitter.
Yeah, it could have just been Dana White saying it. Let me see. Yeah, venue record, apparently, I think, is what they're claiming or they were expecting it to be. So, yeah, very good return to live events in the UK for the UFC. So much so that Dana White says they're going to rearrange the schedule once they get back stateside, and they're going to make sure they're back in the UK again before the end of the year. So, they should just run every week in the UK if they're going to put on cards like this, and the card's going to be the way it was. So, may as well quickly tell you, rather than go tell you each pick that we got right, that's let's just tell you, Dan went 11-1. Like I said, $100 in every fight would have won him $660 last night. Almost enough to dig you out of the hole.
I was just going to ask, am I back in the black?
No, you're still down $119. So
that's not bad, though, at betting on every single fight.
No, Dan likes to dig himself holes at the start of the year. Your winning percentage, you're up to 63% on the year for your picks, which is very, very good. As for me, I went 9-3, not too shabby. It's basically right around the percentage I've been going, about two-thirds or so. Actually, that's a bit higher than that. I won $2,444 for the year. I'm up $357. So I'm still winning money, which is good to see.
Every fight.
Exactly. That's wild. I wonder how long I can keep this going. We'll see. 67% winning percentage. So that's kind of how I'm winning money. So my return on investment is 3% there. Hit a couple of dogs last night, which always helps. I always think of it as it buying you some losses. You can afford some, every underdog you get, you can afford to lose a few fights. So that's my pessimistic view of it, perhaps. Recommended plays, Dan went 4-0, $105. I went 3-1, $78.75. I won. So overall recommended plays, Dan, is 67% recommended plays, up $280, 32% return on investment. So my recommended plays, I am at 60%, which is funny because it's lower than my overall record. If I just pick the same as I pick on every fight, I'd be at 67%. But nonetheless, 60%, up $119, 14% return on investment, not too shabby. Normally, you know, I'd be bragging about that, but Dan's destroying me. Correct?
Just in that realm, because you still got the I mean, if you put together a whole year's worth of picks on every single fight that somehow remains profitable, which would be the first I'd ever hearing of doing it, I may have to cede my crown if that was the case.
Oh, boy. Now I have some motivation.
In the meantime, I'll wear my 11-1, 4-0 crown with $105 return on $100 worth of bets is not shabby.
Not shabby at all. All right. Maybe we should break down the event. I already did ad reads, right, Dan?
You already did, yes, ad reads, yes, right? correct.
Got to remember here. I did WinBet, I did. All right, well, let's dive into the event. So O2 Arena, UFC Fight Night, Volkov versus Aspinall. Did I get the attendance out? Yeah, I did. Maybe I didn't. You can get all the attendance and payouts and all that stuff over at moneymma.substack.com, my newsletter. So it's 70,081 people, $4.5 million gate, and we decided that was a venue record. So pretty dang exciting event. We had, 9 out of 12 of the fights were finishes, and the UFC gave out a record 9 bonuses. They gave out bonuses to every fighter that got a finish. So pretty crazy there. They've had like $100,000 bonuses they've been given out before, so these were only $50,000. So probably not the most money they've given out for bonuses, but the most total bonuses they've given out ever.
Yeah, and it's still – it's nice. Like, I wish they would just do this every time. But at the end of the day, right, like, we're talking about this event having, like, record figures. And, again, you can go to the MMA Money Substack and check that out.
Money MMA, Dan.
Damn
Money
it.
MMA.
It's new. I'm not going to remember.
I mess up yours.
Yeah. So you can go to the Money MMA Substack and check out the figures. But the weird thing about all of this is we're talking about it being a record event. They're making loads of money, and then they're getting patted on the back for giving out less than $500,000, right? Like that's,
that's true.
to 9 combined people. So, yeah, I mean, it's good. I hope they keep doing stuff like that, but They definitely could be doing more.
Of course, yeah. Well, they just don't tell them that, because they say, well, our fighter pay went up, what, 600% over the past? I can't remember. There's some figure that that Endeavor was putting out, but they didn't mention that their profits have gone up like 4,000% or something.
Yeah, or how about the fact that they have like 10 times more shows than they used to have back then? So yeah. Like the pay has actually increased. Yeah, it's. Pay is increasing.
Yes. All you need to know is fighters who fought on the Contender Series, if that was their first fight last night in London, they made $10,000 a show. So, and then another, if they're lucky enough to win, another 10 to win. So there you go. That no one, and the 10,000 like entry figure has been around for decades, it seems. So, I was going to say this isn't a podcast about money in MMA, but sometimes it is. But
literally,
let's
about
actually
that.
Talk about it. Yeah. So we lost Nathaniel Wood, Vince Morales. We would have hit that one because we both had Nathaniel Wood winning, but and I'm sure he would have taken care of Morales, but Morales got sick and had to step out of it. So Dan would have gone 12-1, right?
I think so. Although that was one of the ones I was the least confident in. I think Vince Morales is better than people give him credit for.
Yeah. You actually should have gone perfect last night. We'll get into that, but you missed a layup. That's the thing. You would have had a perfect game, but you missed like a little easy layup pick that I'm sure everyone missed it.
You're mixing matching sports metaphors.
I am.
Perfect game in a layup.
Yep, it works. All right. This guy pitched a perfect game last night, Tom Aspinall. Things couldn't have gone much better for him. I'll call the English fighters hometown fighters because he's not actually from London. He's from where? He's from, is he Liverpool? No.
I don't think he's Liverpool because Manchester. He's from Manchester.
Manchester, of course. Anyhow, I don't know if this win is going to age well or not, because we may be seeing the decline of Alexander Volkov. But anyhow, it was, at this point, it was the biggest win of Tom Aspinall's career. And it wasn't just that he beat Alexander Volkov, but it's how he beat him. He pretty much did what he wanted. Took him down, almost had him in a Kimura, took him down again, straight armbar, which you never see. In MMA, Dan is the jiu-jitsu purple belt grappling nerd, so he'll tell us about straight armbar. But 3:45 in, Aspinall hit the straight armbar. We hit it at -125, which proved to be a very, very nice number.
I actually think this is going to age really well. Like, don't get me wrong.
You think Volkov's got stuff left?
I mean, look at his losses. His only losses in the last 2 years, and actually we can stretch it longer than that. Let's go the last 4 years. His only losses in the last 4 years, Derek Lewis, Curtis Blades, Surreal Gain, and now Tom Aspinall. Those are the only dudes he's lost to since he's gone to the UFC. And when you get to be put in a group with Derek Lewis, Curtis Blades, and Surreal Gain, I mean, that's something. And yeah, so maybe his wins aren't over the most impressive names, but he did TKO Overeem. He fought Marcin Tybura, and Marcin Tybura had no ability to take him down and do what Tom Aspinall did. And that's kind of what Marcin Tybura is good at, right? So for the fact that Aspinall was able to do that, you know, saying that he's a better ground specialist or better at takedowns and submissions than Marcin Tybura doesn't make him, like, you know, the greatest heavyweight grappler of all time. But it does mean he's one of the most dangerous grapplers right now at heavyweight. You know, he might be the toughest guy to be on the mat right now not named Curtis Blades. And that's a freaking insane sentence.
Yep. Yeah, his rise has been meteoric. Night couldn't have gone much better for him. I don't know if there's really much more to say about his performance. Do you want to just jump right into where you want to head next with him, or do you have more breakdown you want to give of his performance last night?
I don't really think so. I mean, like, I think we hit this pick in the perfect way, because I said, you know, I think he can stand and trade and get on the inside and knock out Volkov, plus he's longer, and I said I thought the grappling was underrated. I thought he was going to land some takedowns, because, I mean, if you do it to Arlovsky, you can probably do it to Volkov. Booking-wise, I kind of think he is a good fit for Surreal Gain. If they go back to Europe, if they go back to the UK again this year, as Dana White is now promising they're going to do, Aspinall versus Surreal Gain at the top of that card, yeah, I'd buy that. or even that as like a co-main event on a Fight Island card, because they are going back to Fight Island in October. Like, yeah, like when they're going back to that part of the world, grab the two Europeans and have them throw down, because, you know, Surreal's kind of in no man's land. I don't think they're going to give him an interim title shot next. You know, we got a whole bunch of guys in there that we don't know if they're even going to fight again, like John Jones and Stipe and Francis Ngannou. And I don't really want to put Aspinall with Tai Tuivasa yet, because, you know, those are two guys who are both super exciting and fresh to the division. So let's see if Aspinall gets by somebody like Surreal. I think that'd be a good fit.
Yeah, don't feed the up and coming guys to each other, please. That's like lazy booking, which they seem to do more often than not.
Women's flyweight division.
That's true. But yeah, just like we throw the term around gatekeeper around a lot, but yeah, use the quote unquote gatekeepers of these divisions for these young people too. Well, young is relative in heavyweight, but actually he's still in his 20s, isn't he, Aspinall? I think he's like 29, isn't he, or something like that?
Yeah, he's only 28, actually. He's
28, born, okay, there you
that
go.
That dude is born in 1993, which is an insane thing to hear.
Yep. Yeah, so definitely, I like your idea, sure. Give him a serial game, but yeah, he's definitely one to keep an eye on. You were in early on him too, if I remember correctly. You were on his on the Aspinall train early. You're not a bandwagon jumper here.
I think he did the Top Turtle MMA podcast before his before his pro debut, or his UFC debut.
Wow.
Yeah, look at that. So
amazing.
He ain't lost, and he's got the Top Turtle stank on him.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine how good he'd be if he once he gets that stank off him. So. But yeah, like Dan said, the top of the division is a bit of a mess. There's more question marks than there is answers. You don't know if the champ's going to fight again. You don't know if the former champ, Stipe Miocic, is going to fight again. Who knows what's going on with John Jones? Yeah, it's a mess. So now they are bandying about possibly doing an interim title. Would you want to see Aspinall in an interim title fight at this point, or do you want to see him have more of a number one contender fight and someone else go for the interim title this time?
You know, I'll be honest. I actually think he's probably a better fighter than Tai Tuivasa. And ultimately, like, him versus Stipe or him versus John Jones excites me a lot more than Tai Tuivasa versus one of those two guys.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I don't think he's going to get it ahead of Tai, mostly because Tai Tuivasa, ridiculously marketable, and is coming off of a knockout win over a better opponent than Aspinall just beat. Now, Aspinall showed that he's got a really well-rounded game and can do things in a whole bunch of different ways, and is, like, you know, a freaking physical specimen. The dude is jacked. And I think he is, like, ultimately going to be a better heavyweight than Tai Tuivasa and show less holes and be more of a threat. But I just don't think they're going to give it to him over a guy who drinks beer out of a shoe and knocked out, you know, the almighty Derek Lewis. So, I think it's going to be Tai Tuivasa and John Jones, which is a fight that if you told me 6 years ago was going to happen, man, would I have thought you were dumb.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. No, I don't think there's any question, at least at this point, that Aspinall is the better fighter of the two when you're speaking of Tuivasa. Tuivasa probably is more scary, like more knockout power scariness, but he's definitely not a more well-rounded fighter at this point. So big up Tom Aspinall. Hopefully he keeps moving onward and upward, and the logjam and all the question marks at the top of the division get straightened out. So we nail that one. We nail the next one. Arnold Allen, who had the performance of his career, basically, against the best opponent he's ever fought. We got him at a very nice -115 as well. He really put it on Dan Hooker. Oh, boy. Put it on him multiple times. Finally finishing him, TKO punches and elbows. I say finally. It was only 2.5 minutes in, but he had him almost finished multiple times, and Dan Hooker's just too tough for his own good. But he finally got Arnold Allen finally got the job done, and once again, another guy, he could be stepping into a title shot. If you ask me, I would rather have him fight next to the title than Korean Zombie or Holloway or anyone like that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he called out Calvin Kattar, and I think that's actually,
yeah.
probably a really good fight for him. Because it'll test his striking a little bit more than Dan Hooker did. Max or Cater's got that huge hype behind him after beating Giga. I think it was a good call, and it seems to be one that Giga and his Cater and his management are in on too. So like, I think that's going to happen, which is really exciting. I will say this, and tell me if I'm wrong in diagnosing this Dan Hooker one, because I don't want to keep tooting my own horn and saying that like we got these picks exactly right. He looked slow, right? I'm not wrong in saying he looked slow in there.
Yeah, he got pieced up. Yeah, big time.
And I don't know if that's – I don't know if it's more he came down a weight class and as a result just, like, couldn't keep up with the fact that lighter weight fighters are faster. That's just a fact. Or if it was, you know, like him sucking down to featherweight is going to slow him down. But, he just didn't look – like he's fast enough to compete with somebody like Arnold Allen. And granted, you know, Arnold Allen is probably a top three or four featherweight in the world. And to say, you know, this guy can't hang with the top five, it's not a mean statement, but like this is a guy we thought for a really long time was a top five lightweight or close, damn close to it. So for him to not even be close in featherweight seems kind of like a slap in the face to him.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, this, once again, this is a win that may not age well because who knows where how much Dan Hooker has left or how much he has left at the weight class, let alone in at the tops of the sport. I'm looking at the rankings I run over at on Money MMA over on Substack. Arnold Allen jumps up from – this is based on performance. He jumps up from 8th to – 5th now. He moves ahead of Calvin Kattar. So he's right in that Calvin Kattar, Chan Sung Jung range. So it's probably a decent call out for him because he's not going to get the next title shot. He probably isn't even going to get the next title shot because that's probably Max Holloway, right? So he's going to have to fight at least once more, you think, before he gets a crack at the gold?
Yeah, I actually think his best call out probably would have been Max Holloway. Like, don't get me wrong, yeah. I think Calvin Kattar is probably more attainable and he's got some hype there. If he had called Max Holloway out and said, hey, let's just fight on the undercard of that fight like, and try to turn around in 2 weeks or something crazy like that, he'd have catapulted himself up. But again, he probably needs the time to recover. He wants a full camp, all that kind of stuff. So Calvin Kattar's probably a more realistic name. And you're right. We're probably talking about needing one more fight. And yeah, he won't be next, but at the same time, the title fight's 2 weekends from now, right? So... or three yep. weekends from now. So, you know, by the time he gets a fight scheduled next and Max gets his title shot, they'll probably be lined up perfect.
Yep. I just want to see him more active than he has been in the past. So hopefully he gets a bunch of fights this year. So then the next fight, everyone seemed impressed by Paddy Pimblett.
They felt that way again.
Exactly. Lightweight's Paddy Pimblett submitted Kazula Vargas, rear naked choke, 350 into the first round, minus 500 on Pimblett. But of course, Pimblett got pieced up and got himself in trouble before he beat the Kazula Vargas, who's what, 1-3 now in the UFC, before he tapped him out. So Vargas is two of his five losses have come via submission now, so this is no great win, but apparently it is in everyone else's eyes. I think we've become home to Paddy the Batty Pimblett hate.
So I'll say this, first of all, I'm going to give Kazula Vargas a little bit more credit than being 1-3 in the UFC, because one of those, he was beating the ever-loving shit out of Brock Weaver, and then he threw a very illegal knee and got DQ'd. So, like, yes, he is 1-3 technically, but, like, he was also would have been on a two-fight winning streak going into that last fight with Paddy if that had not happened. So, but also, like... Yeah, like, he keeps getting tagged on the feet in a division where there are wildly heavy hands in that division all the way up and down. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't even – everybody's like, who can we give him in the top 15 next and shit like that? Like, even people outside of the top 15 could turn his lights clean the fuck off, right? People remember this is a division that has a guy in True Dober who's nowhere near the top 15, right? People realize that he's in the same division with, like, Jalen Turner, who is unranked. You know, like, could you imagine this dude fighting Jalen Turner?
Yeah, he can't keep eating all the punches that he's been eating. Now, his striking is, or at least the striking defense is really lacking, really, really lacking. Like, yeah, there's slow the roll on him if he's getting tagged by guys like Kazula Vargas and Luigi Vendramini. Mamma mia, time to pump the brakes.
Yeah, and once again, for the second episode in a row, I will remind you that Luigi Vendramini is not Italian.
That's all right. Mario's brother's Luigi, though, that's from Mamma Mia.
That's true. But also, I will say this, too, and I think this is important. He seems to be wanting to draw people into a firefight to then be close enough to grapple, which is nice, except for, you're right, he's been tagged multiple times, and he hasn't really fought people who turn off lights yet. You know what I mean? Kazula Vargas, you know, he's got knockouts in his career, but since coming to the UFC, he doesn't. You know, he hasn't knocked out anybody, you know, since he was in Combate or wherever he was before this. So, yeah, I think he's going to fight somebody with heavy hands. Like, he's going to fight a Terrence McKinney, and he's going to get mollywopped.
Yep, it's true. So, anyhow. Another win for Paddy Pimblett. The hype train continues, but not in this this realm. We're more of a Manon Fiorot podcast than a Paddy Pimblett podcast, right?
Who we get to talk about on Wednesday.
Exactly. All right, well, we're also a Manscaped podcast because spring is sprung. It definitely has here. Spring sprung there, Dan.
Yeah, I went for a walk. I went for a walk outside today.
Wow, I was outside too. I played basketball in my driveway today. That's how nice it is here. The snow is finally gone. But spring has also sprung we're talking about Manscaped here. Actually, you don't want spring to sprung in your pants. Is that what they're getting at here? Anyhow, spring sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Yes, that is what they're getting at. Trust me, your confidence will be blooming like the flowers this upcoming spring. Time to clear out the winter bush and join the other 4 million men who trust Manscaped. Use promo code SGP to get 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped.com. Manscaped are the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming and have forever changed the grooming game with their amazing Performance Package 4.0. Inside this ball care bundle, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and travel bag to hold your goodies. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is a pubis assassin. There it is. They stole my line, Dan, my nickname. That is waterproof and equipped with an LED light, so you bet it's a major key to the new shower routine. This lead trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. Although your balls might look like punching bags, don't treat them like one and benefit from their proprietary skin-safe technology. Have you ever met someone who finds nose hairs attractive? We have found out that Dan's wife is not one of those people. The Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose and ear holes, so you can listen to our podcast without having damaged ear holes. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial so your balls stop sticking to your leg. You also find the Crop Reviver spray-on toner for your balls. Who knew we needed toner for our balls? But you do, which will keep you smelling fresh down there, just like spring flowers. Complete your grooming game this spring with the new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. This stuff is legit and will have you smelling like royalty. Like Dan, King Gumby. If you purchase now, you'll receive 2 free gifts, the Performance Boxer Briefs and Shed Travel Bag. Smell and feel good this spring. Here is your call to action, ladies and gentlemen. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code SGP at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at Manscaped.com. It's time to throw your old hygiene habits and upgrade your life. Throw out those hygiene habits. Upgrade your life. All right. Where are we at? Welterweights. Gunnar Nelson. Very safe, boring win for him over Takashi Sato. 30-26. Gunnar Nelson's back. I don't know. Is there anything else to say? We got him at -425.
No. I feel bad for folks like who had your recommended play here for him by finish, because that dude was on... He was on Takashi Sato's back for like a combined 10 minutes in that fight and somehow doesn't get the rear naked choke. So props to Sato for the rear naked choke defense.
Yep. Women's flyweight, I got this one wrong. Molly McCann came out like a house on fire over on Luana Carolina. Ended up knocking her out with Chris Jericho's finishing move, the spinning back elbow, the Judas effect. Round 3, minute 52 in. First round was all McCann. She was going crazy. Like they looked like they were doing a different sport. The two of them, totally different levels when it comes to striking. Carolina, despite the huge reach advantage, could not get her game going. McCann was right in her mug the whole time. Slowed down second round because she probably got tired not being able to finish Carolina first round and adrenaline dump fighting in her home country. But then she finished it a minute 52 into the third round. So long way of saying I got the pick wrong. I had went for the underdog here, Carolina plus 108. I didn't know Molly McCann was going to look like she did, but apparently Dan did. He had her at minus 135, and maybe I won't be fading McCann any longer. We'll see what her next matchup brings her, though.
Yeah, did you know, so to your point about her looking great in the first round, there was actually a judge who gave her a 10-8 in the first.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible. And it's not a name I notice, which is usually good in the judging world, if I don't know your name. Because if I do, it usually means you're freaking terrible. Yeah, his name is Clemens Werner. Who I've never heard that name before in my life. But Clemens, yeah, gave her a 10-8 first. Yeah, she looked amazing. And in addition to that, I'm going to say this. I don't know if this is a hot take or if mostly everybody's agreeing with me, so I guess I'll see your live reaction. That's the knockout of the year right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that being the best knockout in all of MMA this year. It was at home, crazy environment, crazy move, vicious. The knockout was like very theatrical. Her like arms flew into the air and she like flopped to her back. Like it was perfect in everything that you want from a knockout. And then, you know, getting to like jump into the stands. Although what did you think of the title thing? Did you see her like prancing around?
Yeah. What title was that?
It was one or at least one of the replicas that like a fan buys. So like when you're at live UFC events, the merch stand that they have sells replica belts. They're like $500, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody in like the really expensive seats bought themselves a $500 replica belt. And like she just grabbed it and like don't get me wrong, I get that she was in the moment of like this is UFC London, this is something she waited for. You know, her best friend is fighting later on the card, which is a big thing too. But like, my God, was she on a losing streak going into that? Am I wrong? Like,
no, she won her last fight.
Oh, okay. Okay. But she was 1-2 in her last three going into that fight.
Yeah.
And it was a win over Luana Carolina who, you know, like, don't get me wrong. She's all right. But like, we're really going to parade around with a title after that?
Yeah. Yep. She got caught up in the moment, we'll say. But, yeah, she looked pretty fantastic. If she fights like that every fight, maybe she will end up with the belt. So, actually, no, she's at flyweight. She's
yeah, she will
belt.
Not.
Never mind. No, she will not. She will not. All right, so I whiffed on that one. One of the few I did whiff on. And then the opener, we hit Ilya Topuria, knocked out Jai Herbert with punches. Knocked him out real bad. 107 into the second round. We both had right on Topuria at minus 435. He's going to be too small for lightweight, I think. But I guess Herbert's a big lightweight as it is. But nonetheless, still undefeated.
Yeah, he needs to be back at 45. I mean, unless he's going to fight guys like, you know, he actually lost this round against Herbert. The first round against Herbert. All the judges had him losing that. So it was pretty obvious. So, unless he's going to fight guys like Jai Herbert, who he can just knock out late, or guys like Paddy Pimblett, who he's 850 times better than, then yes, I think he's got to move back up. Like, there's no room for him at lightweight, especially, you know, like when you start getting to, like I said, lightweight's a division that's got guys like Jalen Turner outside of the top 15. Like, I don't like that guy's chances against Jalen Turner, who's, you know, so much longer than him. Or I don't like his chances against Masters Gamrot or, you know, like those other guys in the fringe part of the top 15. Like, yeah, I just think ultimately, like, 45 was such a good spot for him. He should just be back at 45.
Yeah, he's 5'7", so probably not the ideal height for a lightweight. So, anyhow, we hit that one, too. So I went, what, 5-1 on the main card. Dan, what in a perfect 6-0. All right, we'll go through the prelims first. Let me tell you about who we're going to talk about now. Stable Duo, how about? There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out Stable Duo, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $25,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuo.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuo.com. See how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win at Stable Duel. All right. Going back to the knockout of the year, perhaps. Yeah, you don't, with Molly McCann, you don't see female fighters flatline like Carolina got flatline last night. So, yeah, that was very, very impressive, rare type of knockout.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and you don't want to just give it to her because it's the, like, you know, you don't typically see it in women's divisions outside of, like, Valentina Shevchenko, Jessica I. But, like, in addition to that, it was spectacular. You know what I mean? It reminded me of, Dong Hyung Kim? Nope, it's Gai Hyu Lim. Was it Gai Hyu Lim or Dong Hyung Kim? It was in Korea against John Hathaway. Was it Dong Hyung Kim? Now I got to look it up. I know it was John Hathaway.
Like, I'm going to have an answer to that.
Yeah, it was John Hathaway who took the nap. I know that. Stand by. It was a spinning elbow that was like knockout of the year. I remember that. Dong Hyung Kim. I was there right the first time, Dong Hyung Kim, which was the main event on March 1st, 2014. So, of course, I'm referencing content that all of our listeners will be really familiar with.
Of course.
But it was a really great knockout, is my point, is that, like, it reminded me of, like, amazing knockouts prior that we instantly were talking about being knockout of the year contenders. And, yeah, like you said, it's in a women's division, which is just even more impressive.
All right, moving on. This was impressive also. I whiffed on it. Dan got it, and he pretty much got how it would happen, too. Makwan Americani, technical submission, Anaconda choke, Mike Grundy, 57 seconds into round one. I was thinking Grundy's wrestling would get the job done, but he got sloppy. I think Dan even said how it would happen. He had his head out there trying to take down Americani and got himself choked up. So I whiffed on this one. Dan got a plus 142 on Mr. Finland, who finally got back in the win column. I think he lost three or four straight before that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I said specifically I thought he'd get the sub, but I just think, like, I thought people were sleeping on how well he scrambles. He scrambles and grabs submissions from the scrambles really well. He continues to be awesome at that. And, you know, not that Grundy isn't good in the grappling department, but he's mostly a wrestler, right? Like, his jiu-jitsu isn't where it needs to be to fight somebody like Americani. So, yeah, I'd say it went pretty much exactly the way I wanted it to, which was our only two differences, right? That were that one and, Molly McCann.
McCann. So, back on the winning page for Mr. Finland, heavyweight Sergey Pavlovich, speaking of being back, he is back. Looked fantastic, TKOing Shimi Abdurakhimov. I think the most surprising thing about this match was Abdurakhimov is ranked in the top 10. That kind of caught me off guard. Like, he really? Oh, okay. Anyhow, Pavlovich, what do you think the ceiling is on this guy if he can stay active now?
Yeah, I don't know, just because I haven't seen enough of him in, like, God, his wins are over guys who, like, grapple. You know what I mean? Like, he beat Maurice Green and Marcelo Gome before this, who are, you know, kind of just big grapply types who ate shots, and those were both 3 years ago at this point almost, or at least the first one was 3 years ago, and the second one was, you know, 2.5 years ago. And Abdurakhimov, you know, like you said, he's on a huge losing streak and hasn't looked good as of late, but, you know, does have wins over Marcin Dybura and Andrei Arlovsky, and actually looked surprisingly good against Derek Lewis in their headliner, which you might not remember 5 years ago or 6 years ago. But yeah, like, it looks like he's now been knocked out three times in a row in the first two rounds of every fight. So, Yeah, I don't know how to gauge where Pavlovich is, but, like, we need to see him fight more often for him to be a contender, so hopefully he does that.
Abdurakhimov's last win was April of 2019. He was still in the top 10 in the rankings. Is that correct?
Yeah, but
that
I sound
think, right to you?
But I think, and I have him way further down in the rankings. I think I still had him in the rankings, but I did have him way further down in the rankings. But, like, you see he's got a TKO over Marcin Tybura, who's a top 10 heavyweight right now. He's got a win over Andrei Arlovsky, who, if he's not number 15, he's probably number 16. I'm not looking at the rankings right now. And then, like, he's got a win over Walt Harris, who is still ranked, I think. So, like, he's got a bunch of wins over ranked dudes. And, like you said, he hasn't won in 3 years, but the losses are to Curtis Blaydes and Chris Daukaus, and now Sergey Pavlovich, which that one's going to hurt a little bit more. But losses to Blaydes and Daukaus certainly don't completely knock you out there.
No, I guess not. All right. Here we go. Paul Craig. Wow. Triangle choke submission. Nikita Krylov, 357 to the first round. After getting himself battered on the ground, that was one of the fastest triangles I ever saw. We got him at plus 150.
Yeah, and you got him at plus 260 inside the distance.
Right, yes.
On the recommended.
Yes.
So let's make sure we pat ourselves on the back there. I will also say this. This one is the one that maybe I'm not the most proud about the analysis that I put out on Wednesday, but I am. This is the one that was the most correct. It's like Nikita Krylov continues to make really dumb moves on the mat, like just once every single fight. And against Paul Craig, you can't make one. That I know I said something almost to that exact effect on Wednesday, and to see it happen, it was just perfect. You were like, oh, his hand is too far back. Whoop, triangle. And it was just everything that you've ever wanted in a Paul Craig fight, he gave it to you. Live from the UK, which makes it, I don't know, somehow even better. So getting to see him in Europe doing his thing, absolutely loved it.
He's got to start getting some more respect. My rankings, he already was, like, I think fifth, or he is fifth now. He's won, what, five straight fights? Six of seven?
What was his official UFC ranking going into that fight?
I had him at 12th. I don't know how long ago that was, but he was lower. I'm guessing like the lower end between 12 and 15. So
all right, let's see what the UFC had about. Hang on,
let's start moving him up, Dan.
So the UFC had him at 11 officially going into this fight. I would tell you that I already had him ranked higher than that. He was 9th on my list, but this should move him up. Also, remember, fun fact. Win over Magomed Ankalaev.
There you go.
Yeah, like, put some respect on the dude's name.
So, title shot next for Paul Craig, then, right?
I mean, I'm ready for it. I'm more ready for that. Yeah. I'm more ready for a title shot for Paul Craig than I am for title shot for Magomed Ankalaev.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Who would you like to see him fight next, Paul Craig?
I'd like to see him fight somebody like Dominic Reyes, somebody who's on the way down. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean to say that meanly about Dominic Reyes, but, like, this division, unfortunately, has a whole bunch of people right around the 10 to 20 range who are all, like, guys on the way up who haven't had their shots yet, and the, like, 5 to 10 range is all filled with guys who are seemingly kind of on their way down and need to be switched out for some of those lower people, right? Like, you know, no offense to Thiago Santos, but Thiago Santos, Dominic Reyes, to an extent, Anthony Smith, although he keeps turning guys away. So, you know, he's...
Three straight wins.
Yeah, he's just keeping his spot in there anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, those guys who've had their chances, those are the people who we need to see the Paul Craigs and the Jamal Hills up against, right? Is because, like, that will help answer their questions about whether or not they actually belong there. And, hey, you know, like, some of those guys might be weird stylistic matchups for him. You know, I think Anthony Smith probably is, like, the most fun name to think about right now because he is on a win streak, but also it would be a fresh blood versus a guy who's been there kind of deal. And the grappling would probably be so much fun.
Yep. So we got that plus money. We got Jack Shore at plus money, which what we thought was a steal heading into it, and it was. We had him at plus 105. He, one of the rare decision fights last night of the three that were decision, 29-28, 29-28, 29-27 over Timur Valiyev. He had Valiyev in trouble. Well, he would have had a normal man in trouble, but Valiyev just kept on ticking. Jack Shore, I've heard other people say it too, reminds me of a GSP, just the way he has all, he basically has no real holes. He's good at everything. And he hasn't been a finisher lately too, which was kind of GSP at the end of his career there. So, onwards and upwards for Josh Shore. We'd like to see him finish some people. We'll probably get him more respect and get him higher in the rankings, but, it's probably the biggest win of his career up to this date.
Yeah, and he looked great. I was just say he looked great on the feet. And as another pat on the back to us here, both of us said on the show that we didn't think Timur Valiyev would be able to keep his pace for three rounds, and he would tire and look shitty towards the second and end of the third, and he did exactly that. He just looked like he was starting to get the crap beat out of him more and more as the second round progressed.
We got the crap beat out of us in the next fight. Somehow it was a split decision. Corey McKenna, yeah, this was the only thing that we can complain about, the judging. Corey McKenna, one judge gave her three rounds to none. Every other judge gave Elise Reed two rounds to one in this fight. McKenna did not look good. Reed is not a world beater. McKenna could not get it going against her, striking or grappling, or enough grappling, for that matter. She got her down a few times, but couldn't do much with it. And she was just getting pieced up on the feet in the striking department. Where do we chalk this one up as, Dan?
So I will agree with you, not a world beater on Elise Reed, but I think she is way better than we gave her credit for. She looks, first of all, so I'd seen her a bunch of times on the regional scene. She looks way better than she used to look back then. And then obviously on her UFC debut, she didn't look good either, right? She lost that short notice replacement fight up a weight class to Sajara Eubanks coming down a weight class. And I think mentally I was just like, oh, she can be grappled. But like her defensive grappling looked really good. Her boxing looked really sharp. Like I was really impressed with how her boxing looked. You know, like I would say the 30-27 scorecard for McKenna was beyond egregious. I did see some people had 29-28 McKenna, which is, I don't think, obviously not as egregious because there's no way she won all three rounds. But I think maybe she could have won two rounds. But I definitely scored it for Reed. That's having picked McKenna. So, yeah, like, I think maybe we just underestimated how good Elise Reed could look in her own division against somebody a little bit closer to her size and skill level.
Yeah, I don't know how you pick McKenna winning that fight, because she got pieced up, clearly did not win it. So that was the one that Dan whiffed on, his lone whiff. And then Mohamed Mokaev probably got overshadowed with the rest of the fights that happened after his, but he made a triumphant debut into the UFC, submitting guillotine choke Cody Durden 58 seconds into the fight. And I had forgotten that Durden was that dirty, filthy racist, so it's good that he got guillotine choked 58 seconds into the first round by Mohamed Mokaev. Yeah, Mokaev lived up to his hype. I know it was only 58 seconds that we've seen in the UFC, but he looks like he's going to be a problem at flyweight.
Yeah, well, and he looks like he's going to be a problem because it wasn't just the wrestling that is kind of what he was heralded as. And I think I said right on the show, too, like, the dude strikes better than people giving him credit for. And do you want to take a minute to feel really old? Do you know this dude?
Yeah.
This dude was born in 2000.
I was done university by then.
Yeah, that's insane, man. I mean, like, he looks like he's got everything already. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like he's got the wrestling, he's got the submissions. I'm not even sure what that submission was, because it didn't really look like he was in on the neck. It looked like maybe he was trying to twist Durden's head clean off, and he might have been about to. But yeah, regardless, flying knee was sick. Latching up on whatever he grabbed was great, and good to see him both win and get a bonus. Because on that night, too, it would have been such a shame to see that dude walk out without a bonus, because they gave him the, like, you know, Topuria and McCann and Aspinall and, like, Craig or something like that, if they didn't go deep bonus, like, it would have been a shame if he got locked out.
Yep. So he is safe to say he sent Cody Durden back to where he came from.
Did you see that quote?
No.
So
I didn't. What?
He said, I can't remember if it was in the post fight or not, because I just saw a graphic with it, because I was watching the first couple of fights with no sound for my kids. But there was a quote from him either backstage or in the cage where he said, "You might want to stop by the embassy. They might be able to help you back to your home country," or something like that. So it was like the very, very polite way of saying exactly what Durden said, which was just, chef's kiss, perfect.
Yes. And it was pretty much a perfect night all around. So that concludes UFC London, aka UFC Fight Night Volkov versus Aspinall. Hopefully you don't expect us to be this good every event, but maybe we will be going forward. 9-3 isn't crazy for me, and maybe Dan's going to be an 11-1 guy going forward. So who's to say? I will tell you what's coming up next. First and lastly, let me tell you about PropSwap. We're brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. March Madness is here, and PropSwap is your place to cash in on the big dance. Every season, PropSwappers make thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself, such as Zach from California, who purchased a Tennessee championship ticket on PropSwap at 40-1 odds, while the sportsbooks are only offering 25-1 odds. Now's the time to find those Cinderellas while the odds are high and cash out on PropSwap when the tourney starts. As the tourney continues, Cinderella stories happen every year, so don't miss your shot. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, the UFC moves on to Columbus, Ohio now for another fight night. I guess we can't expect it to be as exciting as this past weekend's, but it's a very good card on paper nonetheless. UFC Fight Night, Blaydes versus Daukaus, a.k.a. UFC Columbus. Chris Daukaus, that would be. He's coming off a loss to Derek Lewis, which kind of stopped his charge to the top of the division that Tom Aspinall is taking on himself now. Curtis Blaydes, last September, he beat Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Before that, he was knocked out by Derek Lewis. So basically, that's what these two have in common. Derek Lewis is the one person who has stopped their ascent. So that's the top fight. We got Joanne Calder-Woodward against Alexa Grasso. The one I'm looking forward to the most, Askar Askarov versus Kai Kara France, which should be a number one contender fight at flyweight. We got a fun Matt Brown versus Brian Bam Bam Barbarina fight, which is being rescheduled and it's happening now. We have a wacky heavyweight Ilir Latifi versus Alexei Oleinik fight. We got podcast favorite Manon Fiorot fighting against former title challenger Jennifer Maya. And I was just going to name the fights that are interesting, but all of these fights are interesting. We got Neil Magny versus Max Griffin, which should be fun. Also, Mark Diakasi versus Slava Claus, which is also a very good matchup. Sarah McMahon returns against Cara Rosa. Chris Gutierrez versus Dana Batgarel. Matias Nicolau versus David Dvorak, and Luis Saldana versus Bruno Souza. Quite an event on paper.
Yeah, it is insane. Like that, you know, you mentioned all of those fights. There is, in every single one of those fights, with the exception of maybe Saldana versus Bruno Souza, somebody who has been in the top 15 or very could be soon. You know, like, the one that's maybe the least close to being in the top 15 is Chris Gutierrez and Dana Batgarel. And Batgarel is on a 3-fight winning streak with 3 first-round knockouts, and Chris Gutierrez ain't lost in 6 fights. And that's the one where the guys are the farthest from the rankings, which is pretty nuts, with the exception of, like I said, Saldana versus Bruno Souza, who are a couple of new guys with, 500 or below records.
And actually, I think we have another fight here with names that are impossible to pronounce.
Aliaksab Kizria
versus Dennis. How do you say that last name, Dan?
Tui Lui Lin. Hang on. I'm not looking at it right now, but I'm pretty sure it's Tui Lui Lin.
Yes, Tui Lui. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Tui Lui Lin.
I don't know very much about that guy because he came in super late notice on this fight.
Yep. Anyhow, this is a pretty darn good fight card that we're going to be breaking down. That will be on Wednesday. We'll try to keep the good times rolling here and pick some more winners. Anything else we need to touch on, Dan? Anything else exciting happened that I've forgotten?
You missed. I'm just going to throw this one out there. That it may not all be right. interesting to our listeners at all, but it was really interesting to me. As a matter of fact, it maybe made my Twitter feed more than the fights in London. E. Casey Layden,
yes.
the famous writer for MMA Fighting, or at least he does. He still right? He's still
photographer, I think, videographer. Yeah.
Yeah, he still does a bunch of stuff for MMA Fighting. Husband to Esther Lin. At 40 years old, took an amateur MMA fight and dominated it. I was watching it live on Mark Ramondi's Instagram account because he like live streamed it off of his phone on Instagram, and there were like 800 people watching it live, including Ariel Helwani was on it watching live, along with like Chris Cyborg was in there watching live. I was like, this is. Somehow he got 800 people to watch a 40-year-old dude make his amateur debut. But, like, hats off to the dude. That was so freaking cool.
UFC next, perhaps, right, Dan?
I mean, he probably could have beaten CM Punk.
Dana White, actually. Dana White probably hates him because he was part of Ariel's crew. So he's probably blackballed. So maybe that dream will not happen. So.
I don't think he ever plans on fighting again. But, like, what a cool thing for him to have done just for, like, the perspective. And even at that age.
There you go. That'll put a bow on things. We'll end on a uplifting note there. So follow us on Twitter. Send us your winning bets like everyone has. My DMs were blowing up last night with everyone sending me their winnings. So I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He is at Gumby Reland. Or hit us up in the Slack. The SGPN Slack channel is also always jumping, especially on fight night. So you can download that and talk to us there. And read my stuff at moneymma.substack.com or, of course, at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And we'll plug Dan's podcast, Top Turtle MMA Podcast, Prelim Primer Podcast. We'll talk more about them on Wednesday. So until then, you can take us home, Dan. Go ahead.
I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is...
You're king. You're king.
Oh,
king
I'm Gumby Vreeland. I'm King Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's the pube assassin, Jeff Fox. We will catch you on Wednesday.